ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we are discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 24, Text Number 10. So I read the sloka and you can repeat after me. Tatra Rajarishihi Kaschin नाम्ना सत्यव्रतो महान नारायण परो तपत तपः सा सलिलाशनः त्रत्र राजऋषि कश्चिन् नाम्ना सत्यव्रतो महान नारायण परो तपत तपस्सा सलिलाशना। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद। जगद्गुरु श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। Tatra, in that connection, Raja Rishihi, a king equally qualified as a great saintly person, Kaschit, someone, Namna, by the name, Satyavrataha, Satyavrata, Mahan, a great personality, Narayana Paraha, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atapat, performed austerities, Tapaha, finances, saha, he, salila ashinaha, only drinking water. Translation: during the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. You all can repeat after me. During the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, who was a great devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. Purport: the Lord assumed one fish incarnation to save the Vedas at the beginning of the Swayambhuva Manvantara. And at the end of Chakshusha Manvantara, the Lord again assumed the form of a fish just to favor the great king named Satyavrata. as there were two incarnations of Varaha, there were also two incarnations of fish. Lord appeared as one fish incarnation to save the Vedas by killing Hayagriva, and he assumed the other fish incarnation to show favor to King Satyavrata. Om Agnanatimirandasya Agnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitanscha Vandeham Sri Gurun Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Sahagana Parijanajitam Tam Sajivam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tata Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataro vyascha krupa sindhu vyayevacha patitanam pavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhara sri vasadi gauravakta vrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please loudly chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here in the purport, Tatra Raja Rishi Kaschin Namna Satya Vrato Maha Narayana Paro Tapyat Tapa Sa Shalilashanaha. During Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata who was a great devotee of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. Krishna is very, very dear and very kind to the devotees. And for the sake of devotees, for giving them various favors to make them more attached to him, he performs various pastimes. The wonderful pastimes, we should understand them and remember them and inform whoever we see the pastimes of Krishna, so that purification occurs in our heart. We become pure by speaking about Krishna. Here in this purport, actually, the word Manvantara, Chakshusha Manvantara. Manvantara, we should understand what is actually meant by Manvantara and how it is actually meant. When we see Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, text number 17, Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam Ahariyat Brahmano Viduhu Ratrim Yuga Sahasranta Teho Ratra Vidojana. Here, in the purport, Prabhupada explains how the Brahma's days and the life of Brahma and total time is clearly described in that. One day of Brahma is called one kalpa. One kalpa means one day of Brahma. And how much it is, what is the duration? It is 1000 Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam. 1000 Chatur Yuga. Chatur Yuga means it is one cycle of the four Yugas. Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Satya Yuga. Satya Yuga is the age where the time duration of the Yuga is 17,28,000 years. Treta Yuga is 12,96,000. Dwapara Yuga is 8,64,000. Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. Actually, it is multiple of the Kali Yuga in each Yuga. When we take the Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Dwapara Yuga is double Kali Yuga. That is 4,32,000 Kali Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga is 8,64,000. And Treta Yuga, three times the Kali Yuga, 4,32,000 into 3. That is 12,96,000. Satya Yuga is four times the Kali Yuga, 4,32,000 into 4, multiplied by 4, which is equal to 17,28,000. I mean, it is like that. So one Chatur Yuga is, when we add all of them, Kali Yuga plus Dwapara Yuga plus Treta Yuga plus Satya Yuga, that is called one cycle of Chatur Yuga. Like that, when it is 1000 cycles, 1000 into the addition of all the yugas, that is one kalpa. Each kalpa is given a name, and the present kalpa is Shweta Varaha Kalpa, wherein Varaha, the incarnation of Vishnu, incarnation of Krishna in the form of boar, which is Shweta. Shweta means white, white. It is white boar when it appeared. We discuss that further. So in each kalpa, there will be 14 manus. The duration of one manu is 71 Chatur Yuga. All these calculations are given in the purport of chapter 8, 17th text of Bhagavad Gita by Srila Prabhupada. The same thing is reproduced here for your convenience and for our discussion. One manu is 71 Chatur Yuga, that is 306,072,000 years. And Brahma's lifetime is 100 years on Brahmaloka, which is equivalent to 311,040,000,000,000 years. It appears infinity, very, very big. But still, it is only a flash of light, as Prabhupada has explained, in the time of eternity. So in one manvantara, in one kalpa, there are 14 manus, and each manu has got a time duration. That is called manvantara, the time period between the two manus. That is called manvantara. Manvantara is actually 71 Chatur Yuga duration, which is 306,072,000 years. The first manvantara is Swayambhu Manu. The second manvantara, Swarokshita, Swarokshisha Manu. Then third one, Uttama. Fourth one, Tamasa or Tapasa, some people call Tapasa. Raivata Manu is fifth. Chakshusha Manu is the sixth one. And the present Manu is Vaivasvata Manu. And the future Manu, that is the eighth Manu, is Savarni Manu, when Bali Maharaj becomes Indra. So like this, the Manus are there. The Manvantara is the time period between them. In the first Manvantara, Swayambhu Manu was the person who was the Manu, who was taking all the directions from Brahma and executing the orders. In the first part of that, the incarnation of Varaha takes place. So this thousands of Chaturyugas, which are actually, when we see Brahma's life, such a huge number. So Prabhupada in the purport writes, by these calculations the life of Brahma seems fantastic and interminable, but from the viewpoint of eternity it is as brief as a lightning flash. It is as brief as a lightning flash in the viewpoint of eternity. In the causal ocean there are innumerable Brahmas rising and disappearing like bubbles in the Atlantic Ocean. So there are so many Brahmas, they are rising and just disappearing. So the eternity is such a long period. If we understand that we have come to this material world only to perform devotional service and go back to Godhead, we can come out of this. Otherwise, in the eternity, we are taking the birth again, again dying. Taking birth again, again dying. Millions, 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 millions of times, again and again and again. To come out of this, the devotional service is the only aim. That is the whole aim of the human life. So, in the purport, actually it is mentioned, the Varaha Avatara, twice it took place. The Srimad Bhagavatam 5.16.6 actually describes the same thing in little more in detail. At the end of millennium, ignorance personified assumed the form of a demon, stole all the Vedas and took away down to the planet Rasatala. The Supreme Lord, however, in his form of Hayagriva, retrieved the Vedas and returned them to Lord Brahma when he begged for them. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Supreme Lord, whose determination never fails. This is 5.16.6. In the purport, Prabhupada writes, although Vedic knowledge is imperishable within this material world, it is sometimes manifest and sometimes not. When the people of this material world become too absorbed in ignorance, the Vedic knowledge disappears. Lord Hayagriva or Lord Matsya, however, always protects the Vedic knowledge, and in due course of time it is again distributed through the medium of Lord Brahma. Brahma is the trustworthy representative of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, when he again asks for the treasure of Vedic knowledge, the Lord fulfills his desire. This is how Krishna performs the wonderful pastimes, and each of the Supreme Lord's activities are wonderful. If we take the activities, the things before the churning of the milk ocean, we will see the beautiful form of Vishnu, Krishna, performing so many pastimes. Actually, demons were defeated by demigods, and demigods, they became so helpless. Demons were ruling. They had no other way. They approached Brahma. Brahma was trying to find a solution how to defeat the demons, but he was unable to find. So he goes to the Supreme Lord and he prays to Vishnu, "Hey Vishnu, kindly give us some solution." So after hearing the prayers and seeing the condition of the demigods, Vishnu Bhagavan suggests them, "You see, now you cannot win over demons. What you should do is, you make an agreement with the demons and you churn the milk ocean. Then the nectar will come out. When you take the nectar, you will become strong, and then you can come back. You will become again back to your position." So you make a truce, you make an agreement with them that you should chant. So demigods go back to the demons and tell them, you see, we will churn the milk ocean and we get a lot of things we can share and we can really enjoy. So demons agree. Then, as advised by the Lord, they use the Mandhara mountain as the churning rod for churning purpose. So demons and demigods together, they uproot the Mandhara mountain. And they started bringing all demigods and devils, powerful demons and powerful demigods, all were bringing with great fatigue. And they became so fatigued, so much tired, that on the way to Milky Ocean, they just dropped. Oh, now we can't go ahead. And when they dropped, some of the demons, some of the demigods also died. Because it is so heavy, which consists of a lot of gold and so many valuable things in it. And people, the demigods have died, demons have, some of them died, crushed under Mandhara mountain. Seeing this, Bhagavan Vishnu comes and he smiles, oh, these fellows, they were unable to lift. And how he lifts? He lifts with just one hand, the Mandhara mountain. Not only he lifts, he keeps it on the Garuda, his vehicle, his transport system. He keeps it, just he lifts as if you are lifting a small pen and then keeping it. He lifts it very easily and keeps it on the Garuda. You see the strength of Garuda. You see the strength, how much powerful the Supreme God is. Then, in 8.6.38 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Girim Charopya Garude Haste Nekena Leelaya Aruhya Priyaya Vabdim Surara Sura Ganer Rutaha. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the milk ocean surrounded by demigods and demons. After going there, Garuda keeps the mountain and people were happy. Now we should start the churning. For the purpose of churning, they go to Vasuki, the biggest serpent available. So request him and tell him that we are going to get a lot of things, you will also get something. Okay, let us do the churning. So Vasuki comes and Vasuki was coiled on the Mandhara hill, Mandhara mountain. And everyone is ready. Demigods are there, demons are there. Now this churning is about to begin. Everyone is thinking, I should go to the mouth side, face side. Or the demons are also thinking, demigods were also thinking. Now what will happen is something wonderful. Hari Purastha Jagrahe Purvam Devastato Bhavan. The personality of Godhead as Ajita, he is called Ajita here. Ajita, he goes to the front portion of the snake, face side. So many hoods of Vasuki. And he grabs it, he holds it. And what happens? Then the demigods also followed. Seeing that Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is holding. All demigods also went and grasped. Now the demons, they became angry. They say, we are the most powerful people and most knowledgeable person. So we should hold the tail? No. We don't hold the tail and do the churning. We go to the face side, front side. So they remained silent. They were silent. Demigods were there. They were holding. And these people, they were silent. Seeing this, 8.7.4 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Iti tu stim sitan deitan vilokya purushottamah swayaman vishtru jagram puccham jagraha samaraha. Thus the demons remained silent, opposing the desire of the demigods. Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. He smiled, and without any discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake. And demigods followed. From the face side, front side, all demigods came to the tail side and they started churning. When they are churning, there is no support at the bottom. So Vishnu now takes the form, Krishna takes the form of tortoise, very huge tortoise, and it went below the mountain, given the support as Kashyapa avatar. So now there is a support, and demons are happily, they are happy on the front side, demigods are on the tail side. So the churning started. When the churning started, there is a support at the bottom and there is no support from the top. So it tilted. The Mandaragiri, the Mandara mountain tilted and then started falling into the ocean. Again they were fatigued. And bringing them is such a big problem. Keeping them is a big problem. Now what to do? Seeing this, Krishna, what he does as Ajita, in 8.7.12, Upayagendram girivadinavanya akramya hastana sahasrabahu. Manifesting himself with thousand hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of the Mandara mountain. On the Mandara mountain, now there is Vishnu with sahasrabhuja, with thousands of hands, and one of them holding the mountain. Seeing this, the upper planetary system, the Lord Brahma and Vishnu along with Indra, they offered prayers and showered flowers on him. Now here you see the scene, Supreme Personality of Godhead on the top, Supreme Personality of Godhead at the bottom as Kashyapa, and churning is taking place. Now they are churning and churning, demigods and demons, but nothing is happening. Seeing nothing is happening, they are getting frustrated. They are churning, nothing is coming out. It was promised that nectar will come out and some more things also come out. They are churning, nothing is coming out. Now what happens? You see the past times, how Krishna does so many things. Madhyamanastada siddhon deva vasura rupadhai yada sudana jayeta nirmamanda jita svayam. When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean. Now you see, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is churning, Supreme Personality of Godhead is on the top of the Mandara mountain, Supreme Personality of Godhead is at the bottom of the Mandara mountain. This is a fantastic scene. And if we believe the great leelas, great pastimes of Krishna, we get purified. If we don't believe, then we go away from Krishna and we are in the material world. So as the churning takes place, the kalakuta, visha, the poison comes out. When the poison had come out, everyone is disturbed, and it was actually affecting all the living entities. They may lose their life any moment. It was like that. Such a huge quantity was coming out, and then what happens? Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, 7, 19. O King, when that uncontrollable poison was forcibly spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods along with Lord Himself, they approached Shiva, Sadashiva. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him. You see, here demigods along with Lord Himself, along with Vishnu, is approaching Shiva. And the demigods, they make prayers to Shiva that there is nobody to save, literally. And please, please help us by consuming the poison. Lord was also there. Here in the purport, Prabhupada gives the purport of Sripada Madhvacharya, who is our topmost acharya in our system. After Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa, and then Madhvacharya. So Madhvacharya has written that don't mistake the capability of Vishnu. To give the importance, to show that the devotees of Krishna, devotees of Vishnu, play a very important role. So he gives the opportunity for Shiva to consume. Otherwise he himself would have taken. After all, this is nothing for him. So then Shiva, after listening to the prayers of demigods, tells his wife Bhavani. See what he says. 8740. My dear wife Bhavani, when one performs the benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very much pleased. So, in order, and when Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me. All living entities also may become happy because of this. So here, Shiva, being the topmost Vaishnava, Nimnaganam yatha Ganga, Devanam achyutom yadha, Vaishnavanam yatha Shambhu. He is the topmost Vaishnava. So he immediately understood, by doing this activity, Krishna will be very happy. So let me consume this poison. Then he consumes the poison. Like this, the activities of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is very wonderful. Only thing is, we should understand. If we don't understand the pastimes, then we will not gain anything. Just like the story of cobbler and the Brahmana, which Prabhupada often tells in the classes, in the lectures. There was a Narada, there was a cobbler and a Brahmana. Narada was passing through the earth and he could find the Brahmana performing various rituals and austerities so nicely. So Narad Muni gives darshan to the Brahmana, and Brahmana asks Narada, Narad Muni, where are you going? Then Narad Muni replies, I am going to Vaikuntha to see the Supreme Person. Then he says, oh, you are going to Vaikuntha. So can you kindly ask him when I will be going back to Vaikuntha? Because I am performing all the rituals, naturally I will be going, I am confident, I know I am going, but still, Narad Muni, kindly ask. Narad Muni said, yes, okay, I will definitely ask. Then he left and he was just passing through. There was a cobbler stitching the footwears of various people. And while stitching, he was always, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Always remembering Krishna, always in the happy mood and remembering the pastimes that Krishna is performing, Krishna is enjoying. Seeing Krishna is enjoying, the devotees feel extremely happy. That is the happiness. So he was doing all that, then Narad Muni appears and he is saying, oh. Then he offers all the obeisances and asks him, hey Narad Muni, where are you going? Narad Muni tells, I am going to Vaikuntha. So the cobbler asked Narad Muni, Narad Muni, can you kindly ask the Supreme God whether I will go back to Vaikuntha? Of course, I am such a condition, stitching
the so untouchable things. I am taking the footwears of whoever is going with so much of dust and all that. I'm doing, I don't know whether I am eligible or not. Kindly ask the Supreme. Narada Muni said, yes, I will ask. Narada Muni goes to Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha, along with Lakshmi Devi, Vishnu Bhagavan was performing his pastimes. Then, when Narada Muni offers prayers and tells about these two cases, case number one, the Brahmana, case number two, the cobbler, they would like to know when they want to come back to Vaikuntha. Hey Vishnu, hey Supreme Lord, can you kindly inform? Says, Brahmana, I think very, 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 very long time. And this cobbler? Yes, he will come back immediately. Narada Muni was astonished. He thought that he will come back very, very soon about Brahmana. He said, Brahmana, very, 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 very long time. What is this? What is this, Bhagavan? You kindly tell me. I am unable to understand. Then Vishnu Bhagavan says, you see, when you go back, they will ask what I was doing. Then you reply them that I was trying to push an elephant through the eye of the needle. And see the reaction, you will understand. So Narada Muni comes back to the Brahmana and tells him, when he comes there, Brahmana asks, oh, Narada Muni, you have come back. Okay, you kindly tell me when I am going back to Vaikuntha. Have you asked him? Yes, I asked, but unfortunately it takes very long time for you. Very long time for me? Have you gone to Vaikuntha? Have you seen Vishnu? What was he doing? Tell me. You see, Vishnu Bhagavan was trying to push an elephant through the eye of the needle. Elephant? Through the eye of the needle? You think I am a fool? I am an uneducated person? You have never gone to Vaikuntha. You have never gone there. You have not seen the God. And you are coming here. I suspect whether you are Narada Muni or not. Narada Muni could understand this fellow. Then he leaves and goes to cobbler. The cobbler offers pranamas and then he asks the same question. Prabhu, when I will be going back to Vaikuntha, have you asked? Then he said, you see, you should see that what Vishnu was doing, no? He was trying to push an elephant through the eye of the needle. That's what I saw. Then immediately this cobbler started dancing. Oh my God, my Krishna, my Supreme Lord, Vishnu. What wonders he does. He can do anything. Not one elephant. If he wants to push through the eye of the needle, he can push through many elephants at a time. Not only one. In such a small seed, there is a strength to become a huge, huge tree. And it is natural, he can do anything. Then Narada Muni informs him, yes, I could understand your deep faith in Krishna. And you are fortunate that you will go back to Vaikuntha. So when we have the deep faith and we take the pastimes with great interest and with full devotion, then we get the benefit. Otherwise, we don't get any benefit. We only have some sort of doubts or some challenging way. How Krishna can lift the Govardhana hill, such a big hill, and with his little finger? Oh, is it possible? Can you do? Can anyone do? These are all something like stories. No. Those people who think like that, they are always in the material world, taking the life again and again. When we have the deep faith in Krishna and when we know his strength, then we can go back to Krishna.
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Any reason, you take any reason, the ultimate reason will be Krishna. So, anything, suppose you take the how the cloth is made. Cloth is made from the thread. How thread is made? Thread is made from the cotton. Where from cotton is coming? Cotton is coming from the those plants, cotton plants. So who, how the cotton plants are coming? They are coming from the seeds. And who has made the seeds? The ultimate answer is Krishna. Bijam mam sarva bhutanam. So everything ultimately when we try to analyze, it is Krishna. With that, when we have the deep faith, we can move ahead in the spiritual path and go back to Godhead by chanting and following the regulative principles. Otherwise, like the karmis who do the activities and who always remain unhappy, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 5, 47 Sloka, it is given, Klesha Bhuryalpa Sarani Karmani Vifalani Va Dehi Nam Vishaya Arthanam Nathayeva Varpitam Tvayi. Klesha Bhuryalpa Sarani Karmani Vifalani Va Dehi Nam Vishayartanam Nadevarpitam Tvayi. Karmis are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification. But for that purpose, they must work very hard. Yet, even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. The results exceed the devotee's expectations. In the purport, Prabhupada very nicely analyzes and tells us, gives the instruction. We will see what Prabhupada has actually given in the purport. In the purport, Prabhupada is writing, we can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in Krishna conscious movement are getting immense opportunities for the service in the service of Supreme Personality of Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna conscious movement actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it has more than 40 crores worth of property, and all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No karmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly, and besides that, whatever a karmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna conscious movement is not very popular with karmis because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, gambling and intoxication. These are restrictions that karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward, without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. And Prabhupada ends the purport, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, this is what actually the karmis, they want to accumulate the money but they are never happy. And we, the devotees, we feel we are performing various devotional activities for Krishna, but we should check ourselves at every moment whether whatever we are performing is really the prema or
our own satisfaction. To gauge our activities, there is a clear-cut definition of prema and kama in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prema, the love; kama, the lust. Whether our activities are the love for Krishna, or the lust, our own sense gratification. Text number 4.165 of Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Atmendriya priti vancha tare bali kama, Krishnendriya priti ichha dhare prema nama. This is the simple definition which we have to analyze all our activities and check whether it is prema or kama, whether it is love or lust. The desire to gratify one's own senses is kama, lust. But the desire to satisfy the senses of the Lord Krishna is prema. Just an example, when some guests arrive at home and you welcome them and the guests say, "You prepare samosas so well, so I have come here to taste your samosas." "Oh yes, I will prepare samosa." And the grandson says, "Oh grandpa, please prepare them, fry them in ghee. I like it very much." Oh, my dear grandson, I will prepare them in ghee." He prepares nice samosas. And the grandson says, "Okay, give it to me. Now you have made the samosas so well." No. "We have to offer. We have to offer to Krishna." "Offer to Krishna?" Krishna, yes, he takes. And the prasadam is given. Now here, Atmendriya priti vancha tare bali kama, Krishnendriya priti ichha dhare prema nama. When we apply this 4.165 of Adi Leela, whether it was for whose desire the samosa was made. The guest had come and he expressed this desire. "I made the samosa, I offered it to Krishna, and I am eating. Oh, so nice. We are great devotees." When we apply this, we see that for whose purpose, for whose satisfaction it was made? To satisfy the guest? To satisfy the grandson? Then where is the prema in this? Where is the love for Krishna? Krishna had been as a routine, Krishna as a routine ritual. Because it has to be offered, without offering we cannot eat it. So as a routine it was done. But the same activity, when it is performed with great love, like when the guest expressed the desire to eat samosa, then you will immediately feel Krishna in his heart is expressing his desire to eat samosa. "So I had to prepare samosa." "Oh Krishna, you want to eat samosas and you are expressing your desire through my guest." "Oh Krishna, you want to eat samosa which is fried in ghee. You are expressing the desire through my grandson." With that, remembering Krishna, he prepares the samosas and he offers to Krishna and distributes to the people, his guests. Now you see the two activities, Atmendriya Priti and Krishnendriya Priti. So when it is for Krishna, then it is love. When it is for satisfying our own senses, then it is kama, the lust. When we try to analyze this every time and try to improve in all our activities, definitely we attain the Krishna prema. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and following the regulative principles without fail. So with these things, I thought I should end this. But in the purport of 4.165 of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada has written very, very nice thing which we should see. Only 1 minute I take. The predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interests. They dedicated their souls only for satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna.
So in the purport, Prabhupada explains this. So we should apply 4.165 in our life and remember the innumerable pastime stories of Krishna and understand his greatest opulence. Then we will become pure and our devotion will be pure devotional service and we can go back to Godhead. With these things, I thought I should stop here. Any questions? We can take one or two questions. Yes. Hare Krishna. Can speak? Okay. Difference is, if you are remembering Krishna, then it is love. If you are not remembering Krishna, offering to Krishna as a ritual, it is not a love. Though you are offering, Krishna will definitely take. But it is not pure love. There is a lust, there is a sense gratification involved in it. In the example which I have given, the samosas are prepared for the satisfaction of the guest. And he is frying in ghee for the satisfaction of the grandson. So that Krishna feeling is not coming. If Krishna feeling is coming, then it is prema. If Krishna feeling is not coming, it is kama, the lust. That's what 4.165 of Adi Leela instructs us. His desires are coming. His other desires are coming. That's why while cooking, they are in a very mode of goodness with lot of kirtan going on and their mood is only for Krishna, cooking for Krishna. Yeah.
His desires are coming that I should go to service for the Lord. And Krishna is cooking his heart, so he is living in his desire to cook for him. So, that is the point I was going to make.
Yeah, as... Oh, thank you. Yeah.
This is cooking for Krishna. One is cooking for Krishna. So he is just in the purity, he is giving him that.
Yeah, he should only think that he is preparing for Krishna and desires for Krishna only. Other desires, other ideas are coming because we are not pure. Because our consciousness is not totally pure. So in order to make it pure, we have to remember that if I am not thinking about Krishna every moment, then I am doing the activities as a part of lust. It is not a prema, it is not love. So when we teach ourselves, then our heart slowly, yes, our mind will start listening and he will stop thinking about those desires. He will not get the desires once he gets totally purified. Yeah. Yeah, that is the main thing. We are not pure. To come to the platform of pure devotee, come to the platform of pure devotional service, we have to take the service very seriously. The activities are meant for Krishna and satisfying Krishna only. Not for getting any name that I have made a very nice samosa, or not for getting any other thing. So that should come out of the person. So Sunvatam Swakada Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtanaha Hudayanta Sohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Suhutsatam. As we keep on hearing the pastimes of Krishna, we come out of these impurities. Thank you, Prabhu. Yeah, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class. Prabhu, I was reading the Bhagavad Gita and it is said that Lord has taken two incarnations of Balaram. So I just want to know how Lord has taken two incarnations of Balaram.
Yeah, I have read that, the sloka and purport in the beginning itself.
So, what of this Lord has taken two times?
Yeah, the first one was to give the Vedas. The Vedas were hidden in the below the Sutala. So Krishna assumes, Vishnu assumes the form of Shweta Varaha and then he goes down and picks the Vedas out, the earth, the Prithvi. He takes it out and then actually the demons have immersed the Prithvi under the filthy waters under the Sutala. So the first purpose was to take out and keep it in the in its orbit. So as Shweta Varaha, as white boar, he appeared, and while fighting with Hiranyaksha, this demon should be killed by the black Varaha. So Krishna takes the form of black Varaha and fights with him and then kills him. So two Varahas appear.
Thank you so much for wonderful.
So okay, thank you. Thank you very much. If you don't have any questions. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Grandara Srimad Mahapuran Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai.